I'm Steve Potter, and still to come on Cityscape, Dressed, a new exhibit at the Regional Arts Commission. Dressed features work by St. Louis fashion designers, and later Michael Drummond of Project Runway fame will join us for a preview. Grammy Award-winning soprano Christine Brewer performs with the St. Louis Symphony this weekend, and she joins us now to talk about that, among other things. Hi, Christine. Nice to see you.
Hi, Steve. Great to see you.
Speaking of fashion, you always sort of make a fashion statement, I would say. Why are you laughing?
Now, I don't know if you're just joking or not.
No, I'm not.
No. Well, it's because I've got this asymmetrical blouse on today. I think that's
No, you
what
always
it is.
Look really good.
Well, so. Thank you.
Does someone dress you, by the way? Or?
No. Although, I have to say, I do have people who make concert gowns for me and design them. So that's kind of fun.
Well, I guess you haven't performed at the symphony for about a year because it's an annual thing that you do, right?
Right.
You'll be performing Friday and Saturday evenings and Sunday afternoon at Powell Hall. And David Robertson will begin by conducting the orchestra with works by Supan Schubert.
Mm-hmm.
And after the intermission, you're going to take the stage, Powell, in Zemlinsky's Lyric Symphony. And I understand this was all your idea.
Well, it was. David and I always sort of look ahead whenever we're working together. We sort of say, well, what do we want to do in a couple years? And I mentioned this to him a couple years ago. And he said, you know what? I'm going to take a look at this and see if it looks like orchestrally, it'll work with the orchestra and everything. And it requires a soprano and a baritone. Lucas Meacham is singing the baritone part. And it's basically seven songs. And we alternate. We never sing together. Hmm. But all these songs are poems about love. And it's sort of a whole journey of, I guess you could say, a love affair. And, you know, and it starts out very innocently. And my first song is about, you know, mother, help me find what should I wear? How should I fix my hair? Can you fix my hair?
So it's back to fashion.
It is back to fashion. It's all about fashion, Steve. And then my second song, I sing, you know, speak to me, please, and tell me that again. I don't even remember what you sang. It was so beautiful. And it's a real love, you know, the nighttime, I'll let my hair down, you know, that her mother fixed in the first song. And then the last song I sing is all about the end of an affair. And let's just forget the night. Let's forget that all ever happened. But then the baritone comes in at the end and sings this very soothing, comforting end of a love affair. But he's not quite so angry as the soprano.
Hmm.
So.
Well, the composer is on record as saying that he wrote his Lyric Symphony, and I quote, for voices suitable to the theater, a heroic baritone and a dramatic soprano, unquote. So you care to comment?
Well, that is true. That is, I can attest to that. It's written, it's scored for a really dramatic kind of voices. And the orchestration is so thick that if you didn't have somebody like David Robertson conducting, it could get out of hand and overpower the singers. Even if you've got big voices, it really is very thickly orchestrated.
You said you proposed the idea to David, and does he ever say no?
He did say no to one of my ideas. I suggested Shostakovich's 14th Symphony, again, for a soprano and baritone, bass baritone. I don't think he was as interested, probably because it uses just 12, let's see, I hope I'm getting this right, 12 strings and percussion. So it wouldn't use the whole orchestra. So that's probably one of the reasons he didn't.
Yeah. Have you sung this before?
The Zemlinsky, yes.
Yeah,
I've sung it quite a few times, and I've sung a couple of his operas. And when you hear his music, for those people who know Schoenberg's music and Mahler's music, they might hear little strains of that, little similarities in that.
So is it true that this piece, or I don't know if it's all his work, or this piece in particular, is not only hard to sing, but hard to conduct? Difficult?
Yes. It's really difficult for everybody on the stage. It's very tricky. And part of it is because you get this wash of sound. And there are times that, you know, and it happened to me in rehearsal the other day where that wash of sound started and I just didn't know where to come in. Because it's sort of just overwhelms you sometimes. It's very tricky. Thank goodness we have David Robertson on the podium.
But you need that, don't you?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, not just David, but I mean something tricky, something challenging.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I try to challenge myself as much as possible.
Zemlinsky, really, I mean, there's a story there. He's an interesting character. He's born in Vienna. He died flat broke in New York in the early 1940s. And what his
and
work?
Sort of unknown, really.
Right, and because his work was banned by the Nazis?
Yes.
And eventually all through Europe? What do you know about that story?
Well, James Conlon, a conductor I've sung with quite a bit, took on this project of bringing back some of these composers who were what he called breaking the silence, you know, that they were banned during the Third Reich. And Zemlinsky's family, actually, they were Muslim, Catholic, and Jewish, but they all converted to Judaism, so he was raised Jewish. And then his music just, well, didn't get played anymore. He moved to America. So did Schoenberg. But for some reason, Schoenberg was able to still keep his status. Zemlinsky, I think, got lost in the cracks. And he never really gained any kind of acclaim here. He was not an attractive man. And I know that shouldn't have anything to do with it, but I mean, it's written about
it.
That
must,
he was not,
or you wouldn't have brought it
yeah,
up.
Yeah. I mean, well, I think it affected some of the music he wrote. He wrote one of his operas is called, it's about the dwarf. And one of the operas I've sung, Esfahan Mal, Once Upon a Time, is one of those kind of fairy tales where the princess meets this, you know, unattractive guy, but turns out he's the prince. And so he always was sort of drawn to these kind of stories. Mm. He was madly in love with Alma Schindler, who was one of his students. Her family did not want her to marry him because he was so unattractive. She ended up marrying Mahler. So he had a connection there with, you know, and then he did marry a student later who was 30 years his junior. And they seemed to have sort of a good relationship, but I don't know.
Sounds like a miniseries.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Well, you'll be performing his work tonight and tomorrow night at 8 at Pell Hall, then Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Yes.
So we'll tell people more about that in just a couple of moments. You've done so much lately. I want to ask. Oh, I've been wanting to ask you about this.
Uh-huh.
Because I haven't seen you since. John Patrick Shanley, of course, wrote the famous play Doubt that won a Tony. I saw it at the Rep, I remember, or the Rep produced it. And there was a film with Meryl Streep, and you play that role, Sister Aloysius. And it made its world premiere last fall in Minneapolis on stage.
Yes, yes.
You singing that role.
Yes. That was, you talked about earlier challenges. I do take on challenges like learning a new opera. And that is a difficult sort of undertaking.
The play and the movie were great, and you got great reviews, but I wasn't there, so tell me about
Well, it's such a compelling story. It's perfect for opera. You know, I mean, there's all the drama and the mystery, and it is sort of a mystery. Does, you know, is the priest guilty or not? Or
and you never know, do you?
You never know. And Shanley said, I don't want to know. He said, that's not the point. It's about doubt. One of the things they did in Minneapolis, they put a little post-it note on everybody's program, and it said, what are you sure of? And they wanted people to write down that, and then they put it on a board in the lobby. And people wrote things like, what are you sure of? I'm sure of the love of my family. Things like this. But when you think about what are you sure of? And Sister Aloysius was sure he was guilty from the beginning of the opera. And nobody else believed her. That was a tough role to play because Doug Cuomo, who wrote the music, wrote my music to be very dissonant. And sometimes even in a different key from the orchestra. So it was difficult to sing some of these pitches. And it was emotionally difficult. But wow, what a great experience. I loved it. I absolutely loved doing it. And they did film it in HD. And at some point, we'll probably be on PBS.
Well, I went to your Facebook page. And you are busy as usual. I think you're just back from D.C. You've been to Luxembourg, Australia, New Zealand, Kansas City.
Yeah.
And one thing, a gentleman, the conductor of the London Symphony Orchestra, recently passed away, Sir Colin Davis.
Yes.
And you had just worked with him.
Yes. I loved working with Sir Colin. And we did a project last spring. We did Die Freischütz. It's an opera that's by Weber. It's not performed very much. He wanted to record it and perform it. So we did some performances in London and then recorded it. And it just came out.
Was his passing a shock to you?
It was not. I mean, he was 85. Mm-hmm. And his wife passed away a couple years ago. And when we were working together last spring, I could sense he had changed. And we'd worked together several times. But he was not the same. And I think his wife's passing really took its toll on him. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't surprised that he passed away.
You just recorded with him. I'd love to hear something from that.
Yes, we've got from the third act, Und ob die Wolke sie verhülle. And it's a lovely little cavatina that Agata sings.
Thank you.
We're talking with the soprano Christine Brewer, and of course, that recording made with the conductor of the London Symphony Orchestra, Sir Colin Davis, who just recently passed away in that very recent recording. I want to move on in the time we have left, Christine, about something that's close to your heart. There's an organization called Heartbeats Foundation, and they've put together a CD, and it's... I guess it's supporting efforts to help children through music. So
yes.
What's that about?
Well, Lynn Harrell, the wonderful concert cellist, approached me with this idea. He and his wife, Helen Nightingale, started the group Heartbeats, part of Save the Children Foundation. And it's an outreach program to help children in war-torn countries through music and art. And I said, I'll be happy to do anything, benefit concert, recording, whatever. And I've done a couple concerts with Lynn, and Randy Kerber wrote a beautiful arrangement of Somewhere Over the Rainbow for Lynn and me. John Williams came on board and conducted, and we recorded it in the same studio where Judy Garland recorded Somewhere Over the Rainbow in 1939, I think.
No kidding.
Yeah, John told me that right before we started recording, and it just gave me chills. And so that's on the recording. We also recorded a Massenet piece on it. Paul Simon recorded a beautiful piece about a father and daughter.
Joan Baez.
Joan Baez is on it. Jesse Norman arranged a spiritual for herself to sing with Lynn playing cello. It's a beautiful recording.
Let's sample your contribution.
Upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where.
That's Christine Brewer, Over the Rainbow. We'll Paint You a Rainbow, I think is the name of the CD,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
For the Heartbeats Foundation. I think it's available or will be on iTunes. And if you want to buy the CD and support the charity and the work that they do, you can go to the Heartbeats website.
Yes.
Right. Well, let's see. I want to ask you one more thing.
Sure.
Before you began your opera career, you were a teacher in Marissa, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that you keep in contact with the kids there, and you have a little furry friend.
Yes.
That helps you do that.
I do. I have a little bear, and the kids named her Marissa Melody.
It's a teddy bear, not a breathing bear.
Yes, it's a teddy bear.
Okay. I want to be clear.
Yes, it's a teddy bear. And sometimes I dress her up in costumes that are similar to what I'm wearing if I'm doing an opera. I'll try to find a dress or something that looks similar. And she's been all over the world. She's been to Dubai. She's been to India. She's been to London, Japan. I mean, you know, she's been all over the world. And, in fact, photographed with conductors. David Robertson, Colin Davis.
Well, I think, don't you send the photos to your students and they try to guess where you are and make a game
out
of it?
Yes. Yeah. They have a big map on the wall, and it's where in the world is Mrs. Brewer?
Well, I guess you're going to be sending more photos soon because after your gig here in St. Louis, what, you're off to Cincinnati and then you're going to tour at the BBC Symphony?
Yes, we're going to the Orkney Islands in Scotland. Hmm. I've never been there. I can't wait.
Well, happy travels.
Thank you very much.
It's always good to see you. Of course, we can see you tonight and tomorrow night, 8 p.m. at Pell Hall, then 3 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. David Robertson conducting, if you'd like more information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link. Christine Brewer, great to see you again. Happy travels.
Thank you so much.
Coming up next on Cityscape, fashion designer Michael Drummond, and Dressed. This is St. Louis Public Radio.